This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
We believe God has great things for you and your family. You can open your Bible with me to two places, if you will. John chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, and then Matthew chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17, and we're going to take off from there. And I preached a message on Thursday, and I kind of felt like the Lord added to it, and felt like that's what the Lord wanted us to do this weekend, so that's where we're headed. And the title of the message is Beloved. Someone say Beloved. Yeah, Beloved. And excited about it this morning. John chapter 3, verse 16, and very, very familiar, probably the most familiar passage of Scripture in the entirety of the Word of God. It is the gospel in a nutshell. And many times when we're going to be talking about how much God loves you, we go to this verse. And but then there's also another 3:16 whereby we see how much God loves us as well. So here it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved, I'm going to say so loved. So you're not just loved, you are so loved. You are so loved by God. And this is going to be really what God is hammering home this morning for in us, is I believe we can leave here with a greater understanding of how much God loves us, and that we are loved by God unendingly and unconditionally. Somebody say amen. And this is really good news because it is not based upon our performance, and we'll get to that in a moment. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Notice, God gave his very best. God gave all that he had. He bankrupted heaven, one preacher said, to prove to us that he loved us beyond what anybody else could ever love us, because he wanted our devotion and affection. Come on, somebody say amen. And the Bible says that he demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And so, come on, somebody. The awesome thing about God's love is that he demonstrates his love. His talk is not cheap, that his word is his message, but the cross is the performance that proves and demonstrates that he loves us more than anybody else could ever love us. Somebody say amen. And you're going to leave this morning knowing that you are his beloved. You are God's object of affection and love, and he wants us to know this and live with this consciousness of how much he loves us. His love is unending. It does not end. It cannot be worn out. It cannot be, it just cannot be removed. It is there. He has set his love upon you, and you can't do anything about it. Amen? Hallelujah. And so this is the beauty and the miracle of the love of God toward you. The Bible says in Song of Solomon, his banner over you is love. Come on, someone say this. Say, I am God's beloved. Everything changes when you know somebody loves you unconditionally and unendingly. It changes the way that you correspond with that person. It changes the way that you live. It changes the way that you behave. It takes the pressure off of you because you know they just love you because they chose to love you. Amen. I knew this about my dad, that no matter what I did and how bad I jacked things up, which I did growing up. Come on, somebody. I was making a pastor's life hard. I'm going to tell you that right now. Come on. Anna's shaking her head. She knows what time it is. Anna Schaefer had been with us for about 30 years, and she saw my six-year-old self too. So I'm telling you, I was crazy. I was a little cray-cray, and I made my dad's life hard sometimes. And everybody else wanted me to be the example, and he said, son, you don't have to be the example. You're my son. You know, every pastor's kid, well, you know, this pastor, I had other parents tell me, you should be the example. I said, you should mind your own business. I mean, I didn't say that, but I sure felt it in my spirit. You should be the example. I said, my dad said, son, you don't have to be the example. You're my son. You're my son. And because you're my son, you have a place here. Amen. He said, now go have a good time today. That's what he told me. Now go have a good time today. And because he knew. He knew his son. He knew me in ways they didn't know me. He knew their pressure would push me away from God, but that his unconditional love would draw me to God. I feel him in here, man. I feel him in here. For it is the goodness of God that draws men to repentance. Hallelujah. It is not the judgments of the devil. It is the goodness of Almighty God. In my worst moment, on my worst day, he would show up and say, but son, I still love you. I still love you. I still have a plan for you. And I can still get you out of whatever mess you get yourself into. Amen. And this is good news, church. For God so loved, I feel like preaching John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever should believe in him should not perish. We're not going to perish because he loves us. But have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God did not send his own son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world, that through him, the world might be saved. Jesus did not come for condemnation. Jesus came for restoration of what was lost. You were lost things. I was lost things. And Jesus came to find lost things, reunite lost things with the one who created them. Christ in his great plan of redemption. So God loves, someone say this, say God loves me. Yeah, hallelujah. And then Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Thank you so much, Amanda. You're just making it easy. I'll never stop preaching if you keep playing, so you better. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. By the way, I'm grateful. I am grateful for every person who serves in any capacity in this church. Hallelujah. I want to give it up for the kick workers. I want to give it up for the sound, for the lighting, for the projection, for the video, for the ushers, for the greeters, for the kick workers, for the parking lot workers, for the security. Come on, somebody. Let's give it up for everybody in the church. For the healing service workers, for the outreach workers, hallelujah, for 2SM workers, everybody who's serving as a part of the Dream Team. One more time, let's give it up for everybody, hallelujah. It's amazing what it takes to put on a weekend like this so people can come in and receive hope and help and healing and encounter Jesus, but we're doing it as a team, amen, and teamwork makes the dream work, and every person is significant in every job and every location on the Dream Team is significant, so continue to be faithful because it is making a difference, amen. And you got us dreaming now. You got pastors dreaming about starting another location and praying and come on, see an expansion and miracles happen. Hallelujah. We just believe God is who he said he is and nothing's impossible for them that believe. Amen. Come on, I just believe if Budweiser can take territory, so can we. Amen. Come on, somebody. Anheuser-Busch who? Like what? Like gay what? All right, here we go. Here we go. All right. All right, that was for the Hispanic folk in the house, for the representation. Hallelujah. Because mi la raza is tu la raza. All right, that's what I said. Que what? She's always correcting me, whatever. I feel judged, whatever. All right, that's my wife, the most beautiful woman in the world on the front row. I'm grateful. Matthew chapter 3. Are you happy to be in God's house this morning? Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. And I want to say this before we get going here. Many times when we look at this narrative, we see that this is God the Father talking to Jesus. But what we need to see in this narrative is not only God the Father talking to Jesus, but it's also God the Father talking to us. Because, yes, this is God the Father talking to Jesus after the baptism, but the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you believe it, somebody say amen. The Bible says we have been baptized into Christ, that we are now in Christ Jesus. In him we live and move and have my being. The Bible says that he was made sin that he became sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ. You can read through the New Testament and over and over and over, the Spirit of God is telling you who you are in Christ Jesus, that the believer is the light, that we are the believer, that we are Christ, that we are, the Bible says that you got baptized into the body of Christ, that you are a member of the body of Christ. Somebody say amen. That in Christ we have been chosen, that in Christ, that he always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. And so this is now your new position, and your new identity is now found in Christ Jesus. When you get saved, you're not just, you know, it's not just a conversion. You are placed into Christ. You are pulled out of darkness and placed into light. The Bible says that we are the light. The Bible says we are believers, and the Bible says we are the body of Christ. Somebody say amen. I think they put that up there, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, what is this talking about? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you are in Christ, what that means is, how do you believe? How do you get into Christ? I just quoted it to you in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever should believe, what's the next word after believe? In him. So I believe, and then I'm in him. Oh, come on. Somebody. Y'all are like, really? Like, this is simple. When you believe, the Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Has anybody here prayed the prayer of salvation to receive Jesus Christ? Then the moment you ask God to forgive your sins and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are immediately, the Bible says, baptized into Christ. You are placed in Christ Jesus, and your position now is in Christ. So this is not in Matthew 3:16, it's not just God the Father talking to Jesus. Now this is God the Father through the lens of the New Testament talking to us. Amen. All right, so this is key. Now here we go. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. When he, Jesus, been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him, Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Verse 17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So again, this isn't the Father just talking to Jesus. This is the Father talking to you. This is my beloved child in whom, hallelujah. This is my beloved child, not just my child. In fact, one translation said, this is my son, my beloved. This is how God thinks about you. That first of all, you are his child. You are a child of the Most High God. You are a child of the King. You are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You are royalty because God the Father is your God, and you are a child of the King. First and foremost, what is your identity? You're not a failure. You're not a loser. You're not, listen, you made mistakes, but you're not a mistake. Come on, I feel like T.D. Jakes up in here. T.D. Jakes said this. He said, you may have done what they said that you did, but you are not who they say that you are. I may have sinned, but I'm no longer a sinner. I am a child of God, saved by grace through faith. Hallelujah. I've made some mistakes, but I am not a mistake. I am a chosen generation. I've been adopted in the beloved. I've been pulled out of darkness and placed into his marvelous light. I feel like preaching the gospel in here for a moment. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was sick, but now I'm healed. Hallelujah. Because Jesus has made the difference in my life. I'm now a child of God. Oh, that's something to shout about. Hallelujah. Because, listen, so first and foremost, my identity is that I'm not a failure. I'm not my past mistake. My past does not identify me. God the Father shows up to his son, and he confirms his son and identifies, this is my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. And so this is incredible because this is your new identity. Hallelujah. This, I feel like preaching in here for a moment, because the devil will try to rename you. The devil will try to name you. He'll try to name you mistake. He'll try to name you sinner. He'll try to name you lustful. He'll try to name you depressed. Y'all ain't saying nothing. He'll try to name you after your behavior. He'll try to name you after your performance. And listen, if you let the devil rename you, he can contain you. But the good news is that if I don't let the devil rename me, he can't rename me anyway. Because I got a new name from my heavenly Father, and my name is Son of God, beloved, and in whom he is well pleased. Hallelujah. Oh, is anybody glad that my God loves you? That you got to see it this way, that the way that God is looking at you is, you're my beloved. You are the one that I love. You are the one that I sent Jesus to die for. If it was only you, this is the heart of Jesus. If it was only you, I would have still sent him to die for you. Come on, there's an old song that says, while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Because he loves me. I feel like preaching just for a minute. Adam, I'm saved. Why? Because he loves me. I have a sound mind this morning, Steve, not because I got it all together, not because I've done everything right, but the reason I have a sound mind is because he loves me. I got breath in my lungs. Y'all ain't saying too much, but you're going to get there. I got breath in my lungs this morning, Ryan, simply because he loves me. I got clothes on my back this morning, Kim, because my Father loves me. I got a destiny on my life because my Father loves me. I got a calling of God on my life this morning because my Father loves me. I got money in the bank this morning because my Father loves me. Is anybody grateful that your Father loves you? Everything good in your life is there simply because my God loves you. You are his beloved. Shoo, I have one beloved. She's sitting right here. Well, I really have three. I have her and my two baby boys. And see, they have benefits with me that not everybody else has. In fact, my wife can take the card with my last name. She can take the card with my last name into any department store of her choosing. And she can buy whatever she needs, whatever she needs, whatever she wants. I feel like Puffy up in here. You like it, you could grab. You know what I mean? Right? Because she knows I'm his beloved. Huh? There is benefit. She can take my card into a restaurant. She can buy what she needs. She goes to the grocery store. She goes to the department store. She doesn't call me and ask me, can I buy this? She just buys it and brings it home and say, baby, isn't this beautiful? I say, yes, it is, girl. Work it. It's a beautiful thing because she is my beloved. And I said this on Thursday that I'm white, but if you try to do something to her, I will murder you in the first degree. Come on, Snoop. I mean, straight up, I'll go to jail, start a jail ministry, and get a bunch of people saved up in there. Hallelujah. I don't care because she's my beloved. I will protect her with my life. Try me. Come on, somebody. Come on, man. My daddy's a warrior. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. But anyway, I'm just kind of joking with that. Thank God God's my protection, but I'm going to protect her with my life. So because she's my beloved, someone come after you. I'm in the name of Jesus, Lord. Y'all so holy. Y'all like, well, that's your brother. And you know what? Jesus helped my brother. Hallelujah. Get in the car. Come on, somebody. That's funny. Whether you like it or not, that's funny. In other words, you don't got the same benefits with me that she does because she's my beloved. I only have so much to give because I am a human. I am finite. There are limitations to me. But with your heavenly Father, there are no limitations with him. And you are his beloved. So if you find yourself in a situation, he'll be there to get you out because he loves you. So first and foremost, we've got to know that he loves you. Now this is huge because when you know that he loves you, you're going to live life differently than thinking that he's looking at you through judgment. Because if you think he's mad at you, and if we're honest, most people in this building, we hear John 3:16 that God loves me, but we live life like he's judging me. That's why we don't pray, because we're guilty. Y'all ain't saying much. That's why we don't worship, because we don't think God wants to receive my worship, because I'm messed up. I blew it over here, and I blew it over here, and I blew it over here. And God's saying, I didn't give you that name beloved because of your performance. I gave you the name beloved because of Jesus' performance. Oh, I feel like we need to take a praise break and remember, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, where would I be? But 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary, Jesus stretched out his hands. He was made sin so I could be made righteous. He took stripes on his back so I could be made healed. And when he got up, I got up with him. Hallelujah. Why? Why did he die on the cross? Why did he go to hell? Why did he take on every demon and defeat every one of them and take the keys of death and hell? He did it because he loves me. First of all, he loves us. Hallelujah. Say, he loves us. So when you know somebody loves you, it changes the way that you relate to them. With my wife or myself, if love is conditional, then you're nervous about the relationship. I'm helping somebody. With someone's like, that helped me in my relationship right now. I'm going to need you to not love me conditionally. I grew up in Salinas, so my flavor comes out. I don't even know what I am. I don't know if I'm black, white, brown, Mexican. I got it all up inside of me. I got God in me. God's white, black, brown, pink, yellow. Come on, somebody. Red, yellow, black, and white. We all precious in his sight. Yellow, pink, white, whatever. So if you feel that the love is conditional, then your behavior within the relationship will have a nervousness to it. Because you will feel like, I am loved as long as I please them. But if I don't please them, then the love is no longer reciprocated. Unconditional love is this: even if you don't please me, I still love you. Right? And so notice this. God, Jesus just has this amazing, incredible, supernatural moment. John the Baptist baptizes him. He comes out of the water. The Spirit descends like a dove, alights upon Jesus because he was anointed without measure, the Bible says. And then the voice from heaven comes down. The Father God confirms and identifies Jesus and confirms and identifies you and me. Come on, somebody. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then that's the last verse in chapter 3. And then the third verse in chapter 4, the Bible says, and Satan came to Jesus. Because Satan will always question and try to get you to doubt what God has declared over you. So God declares you are victorious in Christ Jesus, and the devil will come and he'll try to get you to doubt it. God says that by the stripes of Jesus, you've been healed. He bore my sicknesses, carried away my pains. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes, I am healed. And then the devil will try to come to you with symptoms and try to get you to doubt what God has declared over you. God says you're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. You're the lender, not the borrower. You're blessed coming in and blessed going out. I'll meet all your needs according to your riches and glory. And then the devil comes to you with symptoms of poverty and says, I'm going to keep you poor every day of your life, because he will always try to question what God says over you. God says, what God joined together, no man can separate. And then he'll come to your marriage with symptoms of discord and all kinds of craziness. And you can say, I don't care if it's this marriage or another one. I know my Jesus is a restorer. Just go ahead and take the fear out of it. What I do know is that my God is a restorer. So whether it's this situation or another one, I know God's going to restore me better than what it was in the past. Hallelujah. But whatever God declares over you, Satan will come to you and try to get you to question it. Satan came immediately to Jesus, and this is what he said. This is revelation. He said this. He says, if you are the Son of God, what do you mean if I am? You just heard God the Father ring out of heaven. Heaven just opened up, and the voice of God came booming from heaven to where everybody could hear it. This is my beloved Son. And I, oh, Jesus.
Jesus. I want you to know there's a reason why God made it so big. There's a reason why the Bible says that heaven opened and the voice of God came out of heaven and everybody heard it, because he wanted everybody in every generation to know, I'm not disapproving of you. I'm not disappointed in you. I'm not judging you. I want you to know you are my son. You are my beloved, and I am well pleased with.
So, let me go a little further. So God says this supernaturally, and then Satan comes immediately. And he questions this supernatural experience from God. You can have amazing encounters in God, but if you're not careful, the devil will come to you and say, it wasn't real. It wasn't real, and it doesn't matter, and why do you go to church anyway? Why do you pray anyway? Come on, somebody, right? He'll try to come to you with situations and circumstances and lying symptoms. And by the way, symptoms can lie. Come on, he'll come with some symptoms and say, you crazy. Look at your mind thinking all kind of crazy. He's the one who brought you the thoughts. Shut up, schizophrenic devil. You defeated. Those aren't even my thoughts. He brought them to me and then accuses me of being crazy. No, you crazy. You're the crazy one. You're defeated. Tick, tock, tick, tock. My Bible says you're going to be bound in the bottomless pit forever and ever. I feel the applause all the way to the back row on that one. That's right in the name of Jesus. I feel like Professor Clump up in here. Say it again in Jesus' name. Hercules. Come on, somebody. Feel my flavor in here this morning. Hallelujah. But notice, he said, if you are the Son of God. If I am the Son of God. You just heard God. It's obvious. This is the Son of God. And yet he comes, if you are the Son of God. See that little snake? Yeah. If you are the Son of God. Yeah. He just saw this experience. But his only avenue into your life is if you let him in. Yeah. He has no authority whatsoever over us unless we let him in. Yeah. And listen, so he said, if you are the Son of God. Notice, though, so he just repeated what God the Father said, but he left out very important words. In fact, he left out the main message that God the Father was conveying to Jesus and to you and I. So the devil, this is what he did with Adam and Eve. Did God say you can't eat of the tree? Did God say? The devil, this is why we've got to be people who love the Word of God. Because if you don't know what God said, how are you going to know what's the devil's deception? This is why we need a relationship with our Bible. I don't care if you're reading on your iPad, on your phone, or whatever, but there used to be this thing where my Bible, I didn't want to read someone else's Bible. I want to read my Bible. Because I can highlight in my Bible. I can underline in my Bible. I can write in my Bible. And I may be old school, but I'm not saying you got to have a hard copy or not. But what I am saying is that if your iPad and phone is sterile, and you feel sterile, and it feels dead, and it feels dry, and it feels like you're reading somebody else's, well, you need to make sure you understand, this is God talking to me. Now, some people love this, and they use their study tools and their helps on their phone and on their iPad, and it's life-giving to them. So it doesn't matter to me whether it's through technology or a hard copy, but we cannot afford to be biblically illiterate in today's day. Because the devil is wreaking havoc on people's minds simply because they don't know the Word of God. The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So we've got to be lovers of the Word of God, lovers of truth, so that when all the devil has is lies. That's it. Listen, man. And we're like, you know, listen, that's all he has, but he's cunning. He's crafty. This is not like Jason's opinion of the devil. This is what the Bible says about him. Is it okay to preach the Bible?
This is why people end up in error, because they begin to preach their revelation instead of God's word. The Bible says that he is crafty, that he is cunning, that he disguises himself and arrays himself as an angel of light. Deceptively, he comes and tries to tell you this is God. And he'll lie to you and say, this isn't God, and that's not going to happen to you. The last thing he wants is for you to know that it's him talking to you. Is this helping anybody here? He wants you to think it's you. He wants you to think it's you questioning God. He wants you to think that it's you doubting God, that it's you, that you're the one that's crossing your arms. I don't know if I believe this anymore. And man, he's the one bringing those thoughts to you. Now you have a choice whether you embrace those thoughts and accept them as fact for you, or you choose to believe what God's word says. It's your choice, but at least you got to know the source. And the only way you know the source is by being in the word of God. You ever hear those? Are you a word person or a spirit person? I'm like, in the name of Jesus, give me patience. Because I'm not a word person or a spirit person, I don't have to choose. Because Jesus said, my words, in John 6:63, says, my words are spirit and they are life. So the word of God is the spirit of God. The spirit of God will bear witness to the word of God. So I am a Jesus person. I don't have to choose the word or the spirit. We get it all. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, the reason I say this is because the devil repeated what God the Father had just said, and you would, listen, this is where it's deceiving. You're like, well, it, that thought, I it just sounded like what God just said, so it must be God. Come on, man. This is revelation. This is what the devil does. He repeated part of what God said, but not all of it. And partial truth is not truth. And so this is what he said. If you are the Son of God. God just said you're the Son. So if, it's amazing, you are the Son of God. But he just put one word in front of it. If. Okay? Now the cool thing is that this shows us tremendous amounts about what the devil doesn't want you to believe about yourself. Because he left out the word beloved. Oh, that stuff right there. He said, if you are the Son of God, but he just heard God say, this is my beloved Son. The devil is terrified of you knowing that you are God's beloved. He is not disappointed in you. He is not waiting to smack you over the head for your issues, for the sin that you've fallen short in, those things. He's not, that is not who God is. God took care of that so that you and I can live free from that. So he's not disapproving of you. He's not upset at you. He's not angry at you. He's not judging you. But if we are honest, many Christians live like he is. Which is why I'm preaching to you, when you read your Bible, go into it knowing I'm his beloved. When I worship, I go into worship knowing I'm his beloved. Come on, somebody. When I pray for myself or somebody else, I pray knowing, why is God going to listen to me? Because I'm his beloved. Why will he move in your life? Because you are his beloved. Hallelujah. Now, with my sons, Avon and Braylon, Avon is extremely fast. I'm excited to see how that all turns out. You know that he's going to be part of the third grade awakening and the great move of God. He's a world-class athlete and going to make daddy rich. Hallelujah. No, just confessing a few things. Amen. So, no, but Avon is extremely active, and he's intelligent. He's so brilliant in so many ways. But there's a few areas where he is he's working through some stuff and working on some stuff, and I know it. But when he leaves the car, he hears Daddy say, "Son, I believe in you. Son, you are smart. Son, you have the mind of Christ." And the words that we say together before he leaves the car is this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the situation isn't as real as his daddy's words. Other people might be freaking out at the situation, but Avon's just skipping through life. If you ever know my son, he's either running, skipping, or jumping, but he's very rarely ever sitting still. He is skipping through life because Daddy says he believes in me. Daddy says I can do all things through Christ. Daddy says I'm smart. Daddy says I have the mind of Christ. Don't let the devil tell you you're a failure, you're a sinner, you're about to go other, because your daddy's words are, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Amen.
So he says this to Jesus, and then obviously the last phrase that he left out is, "In whom I am well pleased." That it would be one thing if God was just pleased with you. But he said, "I am well pleased with you." Now, how does this change your prayer life? You don't go in thinking about your last 37 sins in the last hour. Just wanted to break it down for the people who struggle. Hashtag the struggle's real. And I don't want to preach a gospel to you to where you don't realize you can grow in grace to the place where you don't sin every day. Amen. Come on, I mean, the standard is we can grow and we need to be growing. We don't need to be like, "I suck and thank God for grace." Amen. Like that's, my grandma laughed. That's a miracle right there. Like that I said the word before grace, you know what I mean? And she laughed. It's like, she's been liberated. Hallelujah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, not like I stay there. I'm terrible. Thank you for grace. Amen. Like that, you don't stay there. I'm not saying to stay there. Listen, this is what God gave me. He said, when you know you are well-pleasing to me, it doesn't give you a license to go live however crazy you want to live. It empowers you to live a life that is pleasing to me. The law empowers sin. It's the Bible. Just wanted to throw that in there. It's the Bible. Jason said, no, I didn't say it. The Bible says that the law empowers sin. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Right? Come on, somebody. Thou shalt not bear false witness. So all you liars are going to hell. I'm just playing. Just stay till the... Someone's like, "I was about to tithe in this church, but I don't even know anymore. I don't even know." Listen, man, it's just a joke, all right? But the thou shalt nots were not given to make you right. The thou shalt nots were given to show you that you are wrong. That's revelation knowledge. The thou shalt nots were not given to make you right. The thou shalt nots were given to show you you could never be right on your own. Thou shalt nots is the law. That's the law. Ten Commandments. That's the law. That, if you try to live, y'all getting what I'm saying? You try to live up according to that, it'll empower sin in your life. But what Jesus said, "I give unto you a new commandment. Thou shall." Woo, this is revelation knowledge. Thou shalt not empower sin. But the new commandment, Jesus said, "Thou shall." Thou shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your might. Come on, somebody. And if I'll do that, that kills sin in my life. And the reason I love him is because I know I'm already his beloved. Hallelujah. Wow. That's good stuff right there, isn't it? So this now is the icing on the cake, and they tell me my time is done. I curse you, clock. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. We don't do that. Hallelujah. All right. Yeah. Okay. She clears her voice. Oh, that wasn't that one? Okay. Because many times when she clears her throat, it means go ahead and end the service, Jason. That's good. That's good. Hallelujah. Come on. Have you guys been receiving anything? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Things the devil doesn't want you to know is what he left out. And he left out that you are God's beloved and that he is well pleased with you. And he is not well pleased with you because of you. He is well pleased with you because of what Jesus did for you. Now, that being said, that doesn't mean that you can't please him within your own behavior. It just means that your own behavior doesn't take away the fact that he's still pleased with you because Jesus' blood washed away every sin and every stain. Your righteousness is still there. This is to say that because I know I'm well-pleasing to him, because I know he made me righteous. That's why the Bible says the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. The prayers of right, you know, some of you are like, yeah, that's why I don't pray, because, you know, I'm just not. That was funnier than that. You're just hungry. You just want to go. I'm offended. No, just kidding. Listen, let me just see. Someone's like, he's right. That's exactly right. I'm hungry. Hurry up. I'm just kidding. I love you, bro. Listen, with all my heart, I want you to realize this. So because I know he's pleased with me, this now empowers me to live a life that is pleasing to him. So now when I believe, Bible says when you believe and you walk by faith, it pleases God. Bible says holiness pleases the Lord, shows us that holiness pleases the Lord. Obedience pleases the Lord. So these are all things that we can and should be doing. But don't let the devil beat you over the head if you haven't done them and tell you that God's not pleased with you. You are God's beloved and you are well-pleasing to him because Jesus took your place and gave you his position. And now out of that position, now I live a life to please him because I know how much he loves me. Hear me. And if I miss it, I don't lose my position. Come on. If I miss it, I don't lose my position. My heart convicts me. I repent before God, and he picks me up, and I go again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Lord, I thank you that you're sealing this in our hearts. Sealing this in our hearts, God. Your truth and your word. Let your truth remain and everything else be burned up in Jesus' name. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.